You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Acts 10. A little foundational verse I want to get to first. Started teaching it's about a week ago, I guess, on who are you. A lot of people don't know who they are. I think the church is going through an identity crisis itself. Many times the church itself does not know who it is. I think many times we think, and we've been taught this, we've heard this from the pulpit, that we as Christians are just sinners that are saved. And yet the Scripture does not say that. Nowhere in the Bible, New Testament, does it say that you are now a sinner. You are now a saint. You can sin, and don't misinterpret what I'm saying. It is wrong to sin. Sin needs to be repented of. We believe in holy living and righteous living. But I am not a sinner when I sin. No more than I'm a saint when I do something good. When you were lost, you could do good things. They didn't make you a saint. When you got saved, you could still sin. And I dare say some of you probably did sin. Probably have, hadn't you? Amen. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Amen. But God bless you. Thank you for breaking the silence there. You know, silence can be misinterpreted, but it can never be misquoted. Anyway, I throw these things out fast. You have to listen. But you are who God says you are. Now, I am a saint. That's what I am. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm part of the church of God. I'm saved now. I'm a saint. Now, I can sin, and I need to repent when I do, and God forbid I do, because I'm a hypocrite when I sin, because I am a saint. I'm not supposed to be sinning. And if you sin, you know what's wrong. You need to repent of it, too. But that doesn't make you a sinner. Anyone ever been lost out here? Does anybody remember when you were lost? Okay. Did anybody ever remember doing anything good before you were saved? Sure, you did something good. You liked somebody or helped somebody, did something good. Doing something good didn't make you a saint. Might have been a saintly thing you did, but it didn't make you a saint. I'm a saint by nature, by birth, by who I am. I've been born again. I was a sinner by nature, by birth, before I was born again. I was lost. Now I'm saved. And I think that's done a lot of damage to our identity, and it's messed up for us conscious-wise when we're trying to overcome sin. If we continually hammer in and continually tell ourselves, well, we're just all old sinners, then we're going to have a hard time overcoming sin. When the Bible says we're not sinners, it says we're saints. Now, it says we sin, sure, and it tells us to repent of it, and it says if we have sin, if we confess our sin, He's just, He's faithful to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. We know that, but God's will is that we don't sin. Now, God didn't put something out there for us that was impossible. You can't overcome your sin. Now, I believe you're always going to be working on something, but you should be having a few victories along the way. Hello. And some sin you just need to stop. You know, I heard people talk about drinking. Well, I'm down to one drink a week. Well, quit it. Just quit it. It's like saying I used to beat my wife three days a week, now just one day. That went over real big, but anyway. But it has to do with identity. It has to do with who do we identify with? Who are we? Good question. You know, John had it down. He had no problem with it. John said when they asked him in John 1, who do you say you are? What do you say of yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, as said the prophet Isaiah. In other words, he said, I am who God says I am. Right. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. And I think we all agree with that in general. But I think when you get down to the details, we don't all know exactly what God does say. We believe we are who He says we are, but we don't always know what He says we are. And that's where you have to get in the Word, find out what the Scripture says. Now, Acts 10 is the story of Peter, who went to minister to some Gentiles who they had not been preaching to. And God had to give him a vision before he would even leave his Jewish surroundings and fellowship and friends and minister to Gentiles. And this is the 10th chapter of Acts. They're still not preaching to the Gentiles. Hello. Because they didn't see people the way they should be seen. Didn't see others the way they should see others. And they didn't see themselves the way they should see themselves. So with this vision that he had, and I'm not going to belabor it because I want to get on some other verses here. The sheet came down from heaven with all manner of unclean animals. Now, Peter, being a good Jew now, he didn't eat things that were unclean. He had a kosher menu. And so a voice came from heaven when the sheet came down and said, kill and eat. And he says, no, nothing unclean has slipped these lips. And God says, a voice from heaven a second time comes, 40 the 15th verse, 10th chapter, and says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Hello? You know what he was doing? He was getting him ready to go minister to Gentiles. That God had provided salvation for Gentiles. Who was he not to preach to? But I think what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If I'm not supposed to call someone that God has cleansed out there unclean, I'm not supposed to be calling myself unclean if he's cleansed me. Don't everybody shout it once. The Amplified says this, I love this. What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do not defile and profane by regarding and calling common and unhallowed or unclean. Let's chew on that a little bit. What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do not defile and profane by regarding and calling unclean, calling common and unhallowed and unclean. In other words, the more you say something's unclean and unhallowed and common, the more you regard it that way, it's going to become that to you. Is it important what you say about yourself? Yes, it is. Is it important what you say about your children? You better believe it. Is it important what you say about others? Yes, it is. Because by regarding and calling something something, then that something becomes that something. That's a lot of somethings. So you actually develop a whole complex. You develop a whole attitude. You develop a whole concept of yourself that can be just an outright lie. But because you've said it so often, because you've heard it so often, because you keep repeating it yourself, you begin to see yourself that way. Hello. And it's wrong. You've got an identity crisis. You are a Christian. You are a believer. We talk about sin and talk about being sinners, and then people go out there and sin, and we wonder why. Hello. Until we start talking about who we are in Christ and what God has done in us, we're never going to walk in it. Now, this is not arrogance. Stay with me. Because this is nothing we did. This is nothing I earned or you earned or I worked for or you worked for. This is what Jesus did. This is the work that Jesus did. The work he did was to cleanse me. Oh, though my sins were as scarlet, he made them white as snow. Hallelujah. He made me righteous is what he did. He did. He made me righteous. I didn't make myself righteous. I wasn't good enough to be saved. I accepted what he provided and what he did, and he has cleansed me. I've got no business calling myself common or unclean. So what am I? I'm a saint. Don't say that arrogantly. I don't have to be canonized by the Catholic Church. God bless the Catholics. But I'm a saint when I got born again, and so were you. That's what's wrong for you to sin and for me to sin. That's why you need to repent when you sin. That's why you need to come out of your sin. And you know what? That's why you can come out of your sin. Because you are a saint. You can be different. You can do different. You may have been lied to all your life. You may have been trampled under. You may have been run over. You may have been bamboozled. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. You are free to serve God. You are free to make a difference. You are free to have a good family, a good life, be a good husband, good wife, a good father, good mother, good son, good daughter, good brother, good sister. You can be a man of God. You can be a woman of God. You need to shake yourself. You need to rise up from the pages of the Bible and be this person that God has called you to be. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:34, you don't have to turn there, but it says, awake to righteousness and sin not. It says, I speak this to your shame, for some have not the knowledge of God. Some do not know that they've been made righteous, so they just keep sinning. He said, if you'll awake to righteousness, you'll quit sinning. We preach on sin, and we get a bunch of sinners. We talk about we're all old sinners saved by grace, and we got a bunch of sinners. We all talk about being unworthy worms of the dust, and we got a bunch of worms. You know, it's an amazing thing. You get what you preach on. But if you start talking about what Jesus did, start talking about how he paid the price, how the gates open, what are you doing in the prison? Now you can come out, you can live for God, you can make it, hallelujah. You start realizing who you are. Miracles happen. I'll tell you, miracles of holiness, miracles of clean living, miracles of change of behavior and habits and addictions drop off of us. Miracles take place when we begin to see us as God sees us. Hello. I'm not talking about just changing your attitude, period. We're talking about changing it and lining up with God's Word. We're not talking about just positive confession or just raising self-esteem. We're talking about lining it up with what God says. We have a basis here for what we're believing. It's not just anything. This is what God says. And we are who God says we are. And we have what God says we have. And we can do what God says we can do. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. I tell you, this is endless. The scriptures that would back this up. Ephesians 2 is just an awesome chapter. I know Ryan and Matt are going to get excited because they were just studying this the other day, Ephesians 2. And, of course, they read the Bible together and read the Bible every night. And they were telling me this week about Ephesians 2, how excited they were about it. And I was thinking, man, I'm fixing to preach on that. Because in Texas, you're always fixing to do something. But I had that stirring in me, and I thought, well, that's just the Holy Ghost. I think that's so neat. You know, many times people have come and says, I was studying that this week. Or I had that on my heart this morning. Or I was just reading that the other day. That's the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Think about this truth, this main point that we're making here, that we are saints. We're not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. Admittedly, we were lost. We were unsaved. We were without hope. We were without God. We were sinners. But now we are saints. Now, we live in a body that's nuts. It's crazy. No question about it. You sit down at the table. You know, it wants two pieces of pie, not one. And you have to buffet your body. But that's the flesh. The flesh pulls on you. That is not something inside of you. That's not your spirit. That's not your spirit fighting back and forth. See, the Holy Ghost is not down in your spirit with a devil. Well, I mean, just think it through. Come on. I mean, we say all these things and we don't really think it through. I'm not half saved and half lost. Or half a child of God and half a sinner. No, I have a body that has not been redeemed that pulls at me, that the devil uses and works through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Hello. That's what the Scripture teaches. And the flesh, the Bible says, wars against the spirit and spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to the other. But I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have been born again. And the way this battle is going to turn out is which one I feed. It's like the old Indian in front of the teepee. Had two dogs chained up. Had a good dog, a real nice dog, and had a real bad dog over here. Growled at everybody come by. And he says, they're a fight? He said, oh, yeah, they fight all the time. And he said, which one wins? He said, whichever one I feed. Well, just think about it. If you feed your flesh, sure, you're going to be a man of the flesh or a woman of the flesh. But if you feed your spirit, the Word of God, if you get inside of you what God says, if you stir yourself with the Word and study to show yourself approved of God and get in church and get in fellowship with God's people, you will feed your spirit and it will overcome the flesh. But let's don't have an identity crisis here. You're not lost. You're saved. There's not two different natures in there. It's just the body and the world. That we're in the world, not of it. Amen? But we've got to figure out who we are. We've got to find out who we are. We've got out there and just forgot who we are. We're like the prodigal son out there wasting all of our living. We need to run back home. Whew. Book of Ephesians. Something you'll see here too. Now, don't just buy what I'm saying hook, line, and sinker. If you've never heard this and it's just really just sounds strange to you, that's okay. That's fine. But just stop and think about why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? And where is it in the Scripture? Where can you back up what it is that you believe? I am an old sinner saved by grace. Where is that in the Scripture? Go find it. Dig in there and find it. Be sure and let me know, too, because I don't know where it is. Because after I was born again, and if I look in the Bible where Paul addressed the churches, he never addressed the sinners at Ephesus. He never said to the sinners at Rome, to the sinners at Corinth. He never said that. Now, he got on to them about sin. But he would do it from the standpoint of, why are you doing that? You are a Christian. Who hath bewitched you? You are born again. You're acting like mere men, and you're born again men. Think about it. Okay. Even in Ephesians, in fact, I want to get to Ephesians 2. But let's start in Ephesians 1. Because it comes before 2, you know. Ephesians 1, notice the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. To who? Well, man, that wasn't very many of them, was it? Because most of them probably just old sinners, saved by grace. No, actually, he's right. The whole church. And they weren't all perfect. Come on now, listen. Everybody in that church wasn't perfect. They weren't like us, okay? They were, you know. You're not always perfect either in the way you act and what you do. But see, that just shows you need to improve. You got to work on some things. Because you need to work on things because that's not who you are. What you're doing is not indicative of who you are. It's kind of like that tongue interpretation came for. People are going to see Jesus in us, and we're going to have to do what Jesus does. We're going to have to love, and that's when they see Him in us, when we do what He does. So He says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints. Notice the 15th verse, first chapter. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So he believed there's a lot of other saints beside the saints at Ephesus that the saints at Ephesus loved. Y'all get it? He was just talking about a bunch of saints. Sound like Paul had this saint club going. Club saint. Initiation was to be born again and become a saint. And that was the church. He even says in the 18th verse, incidentally, this is that verse, Fran, that I was telling you about. 18th verse, Ephesians, first chapter. The eyes, he's praying a prayer here. He starts out in the 17th verse that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. God wants us to know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. It's in us. When you say that's the church, that's what he's talking about. No scholar disagrees with what I'm saying here about Ephesians. I mean, we all agree on the fact that the church is called the saints. They just want to hang, they got that sinner hangover, and they want to hang sinner on that saint deal. But Paul didn't say to the saints who are sinners, or to the sinners who are saints. He just said saints. In fact, from Acts to Revelation, the word sinner and sinner, sinner singular, sinner plural is used 13 times, and it's concerning the lost people, the people that have not accepted Jesus. 60 times the word saint and saints is used from Acts to Revelation. That's New Covenant. That's after Jesus rose from the dead. That's us. That's the church. And we're always referred to as the saints or believers. Woo! Everybody say, I'm a saint? Okay, now, you may say you ain't. But let me say, if you ain't a saint, you ain't saved. Because you have to be a saint to be saved. That doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you don't sin. Doesn't mean you don't repent of sin. But it does mean that's who you are by nature. That's what you're born again to be. And you and I are born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Ooh. I love that. So what's happened here? All that passed away. That old Michael Williams died. That old sinner, that lost sinner died, and a new man came out of that when I accepted Jesus and called on the Lord, and that new man's a saint now. So when I fall into that old man, that old life, when I put on that old man, I'm putting on something that's dead, something that's in the past, something that was over at the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and over for me when I called on Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. So he addresses saints. We can see that very aptly here in the first chapter of Ephesians. And then in the second chapter, which is the one I want to get to. Y'all ready? Don't worry, I won't keep you all day. I know until Jesus comes, we'll be here. If I don't finish, we'll just carry it on the next service. So, second chapter. Notice what it says, first verse. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Everybody say were. I want you to notice as we read through here the tenses. You know what past tense is? You know what present tense is? You know what future tense is? You know, we understand that. So if it says we were dead, doesn't mean we're dead now, does it? It says you, he's made alive. Are you alive or dead? I'm alive. But you know what? You were dead. He said, what do you mean I was dead? You were dead to God. You were dead, lost. You were a sinner. But now you're alive. You were dead, but you're now alive. You know, you could just run through here and just say this about yourself. I was dead. I am now alive. Wouldn't that be right to say that? I mean, we're talking about identity. Who are you? What do you say about yourself? How do you see yourself? When it comes to sin and temptation, how do you approach it? Do you approach it, well, we all sin? I'm just an old sinner. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. Those make good bumper stickers, but come on, man. That's not what the Scripture says. Those are religious cliches we hear from the pulpit. We say it all the time ourselves, but we can't find it in the Scripture. Hello? When Paul talks about two people in the Bible, two churches, he calls them saints, and he tells them specifically what they were and now what they are. And when he gets on them about sinning, he gets on them because they are not that anymore.
Right.
And he tries to remind them of who they are. Yeah. Boy, this is vitally important we get a hold of this. See, knowing your identity helps you handle the crisis. It gets you in the right attitude when you face temptation. Well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got people you can pray with. You got people you can call to help you. Hello. You're born again now. Well, see, my family raised me, sir. Well, I hope you had a good family. But you've got to realize whatever your past was, you're in a new family now. You're in the family of God. Hallelujah.
That's right, man. That's right.
Woo. Well, I'm a Williams. Well, I am a Williams in the natural. That's true. But I'm a born-again believer now. I'm a Jesus man now. Woo. Second verse. In which, what? In those sins and trespasses in which you once walked. Everybody say, once walked. Okay, you lived in them. It was your habit. You loved it. In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's lost people. That's what he calls them. He doesn't call the church that. He calls those out there who have not accepted Jesus, have not received him, the sons of disobedience. We actually are the sons of obedience. We have obeyed and accepted Jesus. We're born again. Third verse. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. See, wrath is going to come on the world, no question. And there is a hell, no question. But it's reserved for those who are by nature the children of wrath. Now, how do you get out of that? You've got to change your nature. You've got to become a child of another family, you've got to be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter. See, our dilemma is not a matter of just being good or being nice as opposed to being bad. I think we are nicer. We should do better. We should live more holy as a Christian. But our problem was our nature. And our nature was a matter of birth. And the only way we get out of that is to be born again. Now, people that are lost are by nature the children of wrath. Wrath is reserved for them. It's reserved and set aside and labeled children of wrath. That's not who you are. It's not who I am. Why not? Because I've been born again. And you've been born again if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you were by nature. Everybody say were. See, that's what it says, third verse. Y'all see that? I hope you're writing this down or underline it, a circle or something. This is what we were. We were by nature. We were by nature. Now, we can still sin, but we were by nature that. That was our nature. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God. Ooh. As we say in Texas, yippee-ki-yi-yay. But God. I love that. But God. You know, when you see in the Bible, or even in a sentence, but, it negates everything that was just said. Oh, I was by nature this, but God. You know, you can preach a sermon on but God. Oh, I know this happened to me, but God. I know I'm facing this trial, but God. I know this seems impossible, but God. But God. I was a child of wrath. I was by nature lost, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead. Past tense. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Hallelujah. By grace you have been saved. Whew. I mean, we read that. I don't know if we even get that. I am now saved. I'm not lost. I was lost. I'm not an old sinner. I'm not by nature that. Oh, I was that. No question, I was that. We all were. But I've been saved. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. By His grace, with Christ. I love this. If you look through this chapter 2, the second chapter, you'll see Him use the term with Christ, in Christ, through Him, in Christ. Powerful stuff. We need to identify. See, we need to get our identity from Him. A lot of people get their identity from who they hang around with. They get an identity from their profession. They get their identity by their friends. Well, I'm just old country boy. You know, that's just who I am. I'm just old country boy. They write songs. I'm a simple man, you know. And their whole identity is with that. Now stay with me. I'm not opposed to being country. I'm country myself. Stay with me. I can't help it. I can't get rid of this accent everywhere I go. They can pin me. Go to Australia. Hello, mate. You're not from around here, are you? No, I'm not. I can go up north and they'll say the same thing. Are you kidding? I was in a bookstore in Chicago one time and I asked them if they had a certain book, and the lady just looked at me real funny and says, you're not from around here, are you? No. Some things you can't get rid of. I understand that. But our identity should come from Christ. I am in Christ now. Whatever I was, but now I am in Christ. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Amen. And by grace I have been saved. Hallelujah. You know what? I don't always do right. I have to repent too. But I need to repent because that's not who I am. I need to quit that because that's not who I am. I ought to be ashamed of it because that's not who I am. Are you with me? But don't equate and mix up the shame and the guilt with your nature. Just because you feel shame and guilt, now you think, that's no good, I'm sorry, I'm worthless, devalue yourself. No, the shame comes from the fact that you're better than that. You're better than that. And actually, when you minister to people, and even to yourself, you should encourage people and place value in people because God did. And the reason you can overcome and the reason you should overcome, not because you're sorry and no good and never done a good thing in your life and hate your mom and hate your papa, God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. No, that's not why. Why you should quit that sin and get out of that sin is because you are better than this. You are born again. You have the nature of God in you now. You're in Christ now. You're a new creature now. You're a saint. You need to be living like it. And good news is you can. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can. You're not a sinner. You're not an old lost sinner. You're a saved person.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo! Good. Excuse me for getting excited about it. I mean, I don't care if the Cowboys win or not. I'm still a winner.
Amen.
Come on, I do care if they win. But anyway, that was a lie, and I repent. But whether they win or not, I care very much about whether they win or not. That's just, yeah, okay. But whether they do or not, I am a winner. Isn't that right? I've lost no value in me, you know, because whatever, you know, happens out there. And goodness gracious, I still can't believe I scheduled that prayer meeting on Dallas Cowboy game, but I did. And I will not repent. I will not back up. Okay. We were at Starbucks. Can you imagine the drive-thru? Yesterday, and the lady says, hey, you know, the Cowboys are playing tomorrow. I'm thinking, wow, do you think I'm from an alien planet or something? Of course we know the Cowboys are playing. You want to watch the game? I said, well, we're going to watch the first part of it. Just the first part? Well, we've got a prayer meeting at the church. Oh, my goodness, you got a prayer meeting at the church? You couldn't reschedule anything? I said, I am the pastor. And then, no, not to be deterred, she said, could you not show the game in the church? I said, no, we won't be doing that. We're having a prayer meeting. I got my coffee and left, you know, but anyway. The temptations are everywhere, people. They're out there. Don't you give in. You stay strong. You stay the course. Don't you give in. Okay, let's get back to this, all right? You're going to get in trouble there. So the fifth verse, well, let's go back. Let's go down to, the fifth verse, read it again. Even when we were dead, thank God. Listen, when we were lost, God still loved us. When we were in sin, God still loved us. When we were undone, without hope, without God, He still loved us, praise God. And when we were dead in trespasses and sin, it says here in the fifth verse, when we were dead, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Man, I love that. I've been saved by grace. Unmerited favor. Just the love of God reached down and touched me and saved me. I called on Him and He heard my cry. I called upon the Lord and He answered me. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God's rich in mercy? But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. But see, something happened when He touched us. Something happened when He saved us. When God saves you, you're saved. When He forgives you, you're forgiven. When He changes you, you're changed. I want to tell you, the biggest problem that you and I face is misinformation. And malinformation, bad information. Are you with me? Misquoted scriptures, lies and deception. The devil loves to keep us down, keep us condemned, keep us in that old life. If he can keep us identified with that old life, we cease to be a force to be reckoned with. We cease to be effective. We're still saved, but see, we're just not a vessel of honor, as it were. Oh, we're still born again, we're still a saint, but we never realized who we were. Never found out what we could do. I'm amazed at people in later in life that find out gifts they have or find out talents they never dreamed they have. They start doing or start painting or just some off-the-wall thing they never even dreamed of, you know. They never did it when they were a kid. And they start doing it. And man, they just got this gift. It was there latent all the time. It was there passive all the time. And yet, because they never attempted, never tried it, never were encouraged to do it, they never knew they could. And I think we as the church are pretty much in that state in a lot of ways. I'm not an international outreach church. I'm talking about all the church. We're just kind of in a state. We're just in survival mode, maintenance mode. You know, we're just waiting for the trumpet to sound. And ooh, and I'm listening for it myself. But Jesus said, occupy till I come. He wants us to be doing something till He came. We're not just powerless and weak. We're Christians. We're believers. We don't have to give in to the devil every time he comes around. No, we can stand up. And we can be effective. We can be used. Hallelujah. And we can be a witness and we can shine. We can make a difference. We're Christians. We're believers. But you got to shake yourself. If you don't see yourself that way, it's not going to happen. This is what the Bible says. Sixth verse. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Ooh, hallelujah. Well, you know, the Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15 also says, it's around the 44th verse, right around that area, somewhere in there, around the 44th verse. It may not be 44, but it's right around that area. He says, in Adam all die. In Christ all will be made alive. Now, the question is, here's a good question, back to this identity thing. Are you in Christ or are you in Adam? You can't be in both. You can only be in one or the other. Now, we'd have to all admit we were in Adam, because we were. We were born in this world, so we were born into a lost world. But when we were born again, we were now born into Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Isn't that correct? So God looks at the world two ways. He looks at the world in Adam, or He looks at the world in Christ. Now, whether you get in Christ or not, your choice. That's your choice. That's my choice. That's where free will comes in. But there's not another way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the way. That's the way God determined it. That's predestined. That's what predestination is. God has a plan for everyone to go to heaven in Christ. It's already predetermined. It's already preplanned. Everyone in Christ goes to heaven. It's your choice whether you accept Christ or not, though. But there is no other plan. There's only a predestined plan of those in Christ going to heaven. And whether you get in Christ or not, it's your choice. But make no mistake about it. When you do that, you leave Adam and you go into Christ. Isn't that true? So you don't have a leg in Adam. And the rest of you over in Christ. Because if that were possible, then you'd just be hopping around in heaven. Because you only go in with one leg. Are you with me? When I got saved, I'm in Christ. So I'm not in Adam. We're just all in Adam in Christ. No. Well, not all in Adam in Christ. I'm either in Christ or in Adam. We're just old sinners saved by grace. No, we were old sinners. We're now saved. Are you getting it? Okay? So that's what he's saying about this in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Eighth verse. Woohoo. Well, seventh verse. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. You know where he shows his riches and grace to us? In Christ. Till you get in Christ, you'll never see it. You'll never get it. And forever and ever, he'll be showing this to us in Christ. Those of us that are in Christ. Four. Eighth verse. By grace you have been saved. You have been saved. You have been saved by grace. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's nothing we did to do it. We're not arrogant when we say we're saved. It's not egotistical to say I'm a saint. We're just saying this is what God did. We're bragging on Jesus. Truth be known, we're not trying to be, you know, self-serving here in any sense of the word. We're not trying to promote ourselves. We're not trying to say we're really somebody because of what we did. We're saying we're somebody because of what he did. And if we're bragging on anybody, we're bragging on him. By grace, we have been saved through faith. But we are saved. Make no mistake about it. We are saved. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. I love that. You know, so what are you by his grace? That's a good question. Logically, think about it. We're teaching on who you are. You're not a sinner saved by grace, but you're a saint. You're a saved person. If you are who you are by the grace of God, Paul said that, 1 Corinthians 15:10. If you're writing notes, you can go look that up. If I am who I am by the grace of God, are you lost by grace? That's impossible. It doesn't even make sense, does it? You're saved by grace, right? So I can't be lost. I must be saved. Are you a saint by the grace of God? Well, obviously you are, because you couldn't be a saint any other way. Are you a sinner by the grace of God? That didn't make sense. That's impossible. Grace doesn't make people sinners. Grace makes people saints. So if I am what I am by the grace of God, then I couldn't be a sinner because I am what I am by the grace of God. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, my goodness, that's good preaching. Oh, thank you, Pastor. I needed that. Oh, glory. Woo. Okay, y'all settle down. I got to preach. Okay. I know you're excited. Tenth verse says, isn't this good? I mean, really, think about it. This will set you free. I hope your mama didn't slap you on the head every time you did something wrong and tell you no good. She may have, I don't know. God bless you, mama. But I'm here to tell you, God loves you. You may have been told you're no good, never could do anything good in your life, and you're just a loser. I've been told that. Goodness, I was told that in school. I got kicked out of high school. Are you kidding? They kicked me out of high school and put a peace bond on me where I couldn't drive on a parking lot. Because I was so saved. I was lost. I was a sinner. Your preacher, your pastor. I got a GED one time after I got saved because I felt like I needed one. No one's ever asked me for it. Except one time I took a conversational Spanish course at TVC and they asked me for a GED. Isn't that something? The only time I had to have a GED is I want to get smarter. They made sure I had to have one. But your pastor, literally, I mean, this is it. I have a ninth grade education in the natural, in the world. That's what's on my GED. That's what I officially finished. I actually went further than that, but I guess I didn't have the courses to merit the grades. But I did get a GED later. And I've never stopped studying, and I've never stopped reading. Are you with me? And never stopped teaching since I got saved. But I can honestly tell you, I can say without any reservation, I can give all the glory and praise to him and say this without any arrogance at all. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And if I can do it, you can do it. Are you kidding? I mean, I was in jails and drugs and, you know, all those kinds of things, lost and just going downhill fast, making a mess of my life. Call on Jesus and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not that person anymore. See, you could not, if God were to show you me before you came to this church, showed you me when I was lost, when I had my hair out to here, I got a picture. Well, it wasn't that long. I did have my hair a little long when I first came up here, but it used to be, you have no idea when I was lost. It was, if God would have shown you that, I mean, I remember one time in the second floor of a jail in Center, home to my hometown, Center, Texas. I was on the second floor with a wino. I was in there with a wino and spent all night there with him. And my dad put me in. He was deputy sheriff. He put me in jail himself one time. But anyway, I remember looking through the bars of that window, hollering at one of my friends out there to come get me out. And I don't know, I've thought about that many times. Of course, I couldn't really get my head through the bars. If I could have, my hair wouldn't have gone with it. But, you know, I can imagine God showing you, your pastor, there he is. But see, that was all B.C. That was all before Christ. And you know, God saw something in me that no one else saw. And God sees something in you no one else sees. God sees what you can be. He doesn't see what you are in the natural before Christ. He sees what you are in Christ. He sees what you can be in Christ. And He takes those kinds of people, me, you, all of us, no one's got stones to throw here, and He changes us, and He makes us new creatures, and He made a saint out of me. He made me a saint. Made me a Christian. He saved me by His grace. Ooh, hallelujah. It is the gift of God. It's what God did. It's not what I did, it's what God did. And the 10th verse says this, we are His workmanship. We are what He did. That's who we are. So we're not sinners. God didn't do that. I did that. We are what He did. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained we should walk in them. Because we're His work. We're made to do this. He said, well, I just can't serve God. Don't tell me that. God made you to serve Him. You can serve Him. God doesn't make stuff that doesn't work. Now, sometimes you'll pick up a machine that doesn't work right or a computer that doesn't work right because there's a fault with the one that made it, but there's never a fault with the Maker that made us saved, that saved us by His grace. He gave us the ability to serve Him. He doesn't make junk. He didn't make junk when He made you, when He saved you. He saved you to serve Him, and you can do it.
Amen.
You can do it. We're not talking about confidence in yourself, in and of yourself. We're talking about confidence in God and what He has done in you.
Amen.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror through Him that loved you.
Amen.
Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God who causes us, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Notice that. I love this word here. It says we are His workmanship. That word in the Greek is poema, P-O-E-M-A. We get the word poem from that. You know, often when a writer would write a poem, it would be his work. Have you studied the works of Shakespeare? Have you studied the works of, you know, some author? You know, and we refer to it as the work. Well, we are God's work. Paul says it this way. He said we are epistles or letters written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Known and read by all men. I'm read. My life is read by people. And I should be a work of God. That's what God made me. I'm poetry, baby. I'm God's poetry. So are you. You're what God can take a bunch of jumbled up words. I'm always amazed at a wordsmith or a poet. And just take a bunch of jumbled up, mixed up words, put them all together and just, whoo, man. Wow, that's so poetic. You know, I'm moved by different words, the way they're put together and set together. And you know how you can just take words and make them rhyme and just make it sound so good. G.K. Chesterton wrote a great poem called The Battle of the Great White Horse, The Battle of the White Horse. And it was the battle of King Alfred the Great of Great Britain, where he got the Irish to fight with him. They overcame and they won. And in that poem, he had a line about the Gaels, the Gaelic people. It says the great Gaels of Ireland are the men that God made mad. For all their songs, all their wars are merry and all their songs are sad. I don't know, just the way he put it together. He did a work with it, you know. Put words together. The great Gaels of Ireland are the men that God made mad. For all the wars are merry and all their songs are sad. They ought to be singing happy, fighting sad, and so on and so forth. Well, God took us, a jumbled mess, our jumbled life, and He made a poem out of us. He put it all together. He put the rhyme in the reason. There was nothing but madness, but He put method in the madness. and we find ourselves in Him. And we are now, make no mistake about it, we're saints.
Amen.
That's who we are. We're saved. We're going to heaven. Go live like it.
Amen.
Amen.